If you take your Bibles, turn me to Luke chapter number 23. We'll be in Luke chapter 23 for our reading this morning. Again, thankful to be in the house of the Lord. I don't know if I'll be before you very long or not. I think y'all are trying to make it. I got a little long-winded last Sunday, and I made you late for lunch, so we're going to try to make up for it this Sunday, I guess. But that's okay, because you got to be back at 2 o'clock anyway. But as we're together this morning, I hope that we are taking this opportunity. Hey, listen, there are people all over this world today that need to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Now, you're sitting here privileged. You already know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And if you don't, then you're in the right place. But because before you leave here today, you can know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Now, what I want to be sure that we're not doing is that we haven't come to the house of the Lord this morning and we're all kind of enjoying. Maybe you're enjoying this new fall weather that we got like I am. Or maybe you're here and you're going, I'm froze to death, so you're all clammed up. I don't know what it is. But I don't want you to miss an opportunity to worship your Heavenly Father. I don't know about you guys, but sometimes my weeks are hectic. I got a lot of things going on at work, got a lot of things going on in my personal life, and sometimes all of that gets so hectic that I don't take time to stop and worship my Heavenly Father like I should. I don't stop to praise Him. I don't stop to get in my prayer closet like I should. I don't stop to get in His Word like I should. And you know, sometimes we take all of those times that we should be doing that and we don't do it, but now here you are. You've paused for a few minutes today. You have said, I'm going to church, whether it be out of habit, whether it be out of commitment, whatever it is, you are at church this morning, you have paused for a few minutes, your life has stopped for just a few minutes, and you are here in your Father's house. Now, I don't know what's going on in your mind, no more than you know what's going on in my mind, but don't miss an opportunity to worship your Heavenly Father this morning. We are so unworthy of all the blessings that He has given us in our lives, and I don't want you to miss this opportunity as we're here together. But if you will take your Bibles, Luke chapter number 23, I'm going to do my best to preach what I feel like God's laid upon my heart. I hope that it's a blessing to you. I hope that we as Christians, when we leave here in a little while, that we feel a little closer to God. Maybe there's some things in our lives that we need to get worked out. I pray most of all that if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that today will be the day that when He comes knocking on your heart's door, that you finally stop and say, God, I know that I need You. Please forgive me of my sins. And you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you will, bow your heads, pray with me, and pray for me. Lord, we thank You for this opportunity that we have to be in Your house this morning. God, I want to thank You, God, that I have this opportunity, that I have this privilege to come to You. To know that just when I bow my head and I call on Your name, that You hear and that You answer my prayers, God. God, I pray, dear Father, as we are here as a family this morning and we have this opportunity to worship You. God, the singing is wonderful and it prepares our heart for Your word. But God, we ask You to help us to worship You through Your word also. That as this time that we have opened our hearts and our minds to let Your word speak to us, that God will also worship You, give You honor and glory for giving us something as wonderful as Your word, that we may put it into our lives, that we may live by it, and God, that we may realize who You really are. God, I pray that we as Christians will leave here a little closer. There's one here today that's lost, that they'll come to know You before it's everlasting too late. Thank You for everyone that's here this morning. God, I know that You're here to meet each and every one of our needs, and it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Luke chapter number 23, we're going to begin reading with verse number 26. Very, very important scripture in our Bible this morning. Without this scripture here, the rest of it kind of doesn't take place. So in verse number 26, the Bible says, and they led him away, and they laid hold on one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. Jesus is now being taken to Calvary to be crucified. He has spent a night, days ahead of this, in prison, of being accused of things that he didn't do. They have taken a cat of nine tails and ripped his flesh open. And in case you haven't heard, that cat of nine tails was a whip that had pieces of glass and bone and fragments of metal on the end of it. And these men who were using this cat of nine tails were trained soldiers. They were trained of how to use that cat of nine tails to punish people. And they have taken our Savior and they have bound him up. And they have begun to use this cat of nine tails on him, and they have ripped his flesh open. And he's been through just tremendous horror through the night before, through the day before. Now they're taking our Savior. They're taking him to the cross of Calvary, and they're going to crucify him there. Now I know that each and every one of us, none of us were there physically. But I would like to tell you this morning, and I would like to encourage you with this, that the whole time that they were ripping his flesh open, the whole time that he was preparing to carry his cross to Calvary, and even at this time when the burden of the cross was so heavy that they inquired of someone else to help him to carry his cross, that you were on his mind, that he loved you so much that he was going through this for you and for myself. I'm glad to know this morning that as we get into this scripture and what horror it is and how awful it is that our Savior had to go through this, I'm so thankful that he loved each and every one of us in the middle of our sins. In our sins, he loved us so much that he was willing to go through this for you and I. Verse number 27, and there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented over him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming, into which they shall say, blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right side, one on the right hand, and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiments and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, this is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. I want to stop reading here for just a minute. I want us to look at some different situations that are going on right here in Luke chapter number 23 as we read this morning. First of all, we can find in verse number 35, I want you to look what was going on. And the people stood beholding him. That people were standing around and they were watching what was going on. That they were watching and they were looking at Jesus here this morning. And in verse number 35, the next verse says, or the next sentence says, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. These rulers that were beholding Jesus, as they were discussing and as they were mocking Jesus here as he was carrying his cross, as they brought him there to crucify him. And I can only imagine the pain that there was as they began to drive those nails through his hands and through his feet. And as they picked his cross up and they dropped it there in the hole, and as they began to crucify our Savior, and they had driven that crown of thorns on top of his head, and as his blood began to run down his forehead, and as the blood began to run down his wrist and his ankles, and as they were there and they were mocking him, as they were making fun of him, here as these rulers are looking at him, and they say, he saved others, let him save himself. I want you to notice something, that these men knew or had heard about the things that Jesus had done. They had heard about the miracles that he had done while he was here on this earth, how he had healed the lame, how he had given sight to the blind, how he had fed 5,000, how he had done all of these wonderful things as he was here on earth. And I want you to know this morning, as we sit here this morning, that every one of us has been exposed to the things that Jesus did while he was on earth. We have been exposed to the stories about Jesus. We have been exposed to how he took two little fish and some loaves of bread and he fed 5,000. How he done all the miracles that are in the Bible. Hey, we've walked around and we've seen pictures of Jesus holding little lambs in these pictures. We've seen pictures of Jesus sitting with the disciples as at the Last Supper. We've seen pictures of Jesus hung up, that he is knocking on a door with a door that has no knob. And we've seen all of these things, and we have acknowledged Christ in our minds. We have a vision of Christ in our minds. But I want you to know this morning that knowing about his existence, knowing that he did wonderful works here on this earth, knowing that he's in these pictures, and knowing all about Christ, knowing that we celebrate his birth at Christmas, we recognize that something is special about Easter. We see all of these things that we see, but knowing about the existence of Christ is not enough. Knowing that he existed, seeing the pictures, knowing about their miracles, that's not enough. See, I think sometimes we are so overexposed to Jesus. Even this morning as we're singing a song, Jesus, 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 there is something about that name. There should be a stirring that happens on the inside of our lives. But we're so exposed to Jesus, and that's a great thing. I don't mean to say that in a bad way, but we're so exposed to Jesus that we take it for granted what Jesus Christ and who Jesus Christ really is in our lives. We just say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. But I want to tell you something. If you've ever been in a place where you really needed Jesus in your life and you felt the power of the name of Jesus in your life, first of all, it's salvation, but many, many times in my life as I've went through things and burdens come along and I've called upon the sweet name of Jesus and he moved in and he gave me comfort and peace and joy, and sometimes he didn't even work out the situation the way that I thought it should be worked out, but just knowing that I had a friend there, there's something about the name of Jesus this morning, but just knowing that he existed is not enough. Just knowing that he was here on this earth was not enough. Here, even these religious leaders, these religious rulers that are putting Jesus on the cross, that have devised the plan that came to this day where Jesus was put on the cross, they knew about him. They said, we say, well, how do you know, preacher? Look what they said. He saved others. They knew that he had done good works here on this earth. Let him save himself. We don't mind recognizing Jesus when it's Christmas time, when it's Easter, when we see the picture of him in a book. We don't mind showing him our kids of Jesus caring for the little children. We don't mind those things, but I want to tell you something. Just knowing that he existed, just knowing that he done wonderful works here on this earth is definitely not enough. Let's continue in verse number 37. The Bible says, and saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrews. This is the King of the Jews. We all have an idea and we know who he is. Look, as they were crucifying Jesus here that day, they knew that Jesus claimed to be the King of the Jews. They knew that as he was here that he had made claims and they were calling it blasphemy. They were saying that he was saying that he was somebody that he was not. And so they wrote over him, they said, if thou be the King of the Jews, or they wrote over him in a superscription, this is the King of the Jews. And as they walked by him, they said, if thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. I want you to know that just knowing who Jesus claims to be is not enough in your life. We know that Jesus represents everything good and punishes sin. When we think of Jesus, we think of a Jesus that is in heaven this morning. You know, we really like to think about Jesus when we have loved ones who pass. When things happen in our lives and we need some comfort, we like to think of that Jesus. We like to think of the Jesus that loves us. We like to think of the Jesus who is sitting in heaven this morning, and our loved ones who've gone on before is there in the presence of Jesus. But you know, just knowing that Jesus claims to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that's not enough. Just knowing who Jesus says that he is and knowing that through your life that you've had preachers and you've heard sermons and you've heard songs about who Jesus is. Just knowing who Jesus is not enough. As we continue reading in verse number 39, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. As he is repeating what he's hearing everyone else say, we also know what other people say who Jesus is. We have believers and non-believers. We have mockers. We have praisers. We have worshipers. There's all kinds of people around us who name the name of Christ. There are all kinds of people around us who name the name of Christ for the situation that they need Christ to be fitted into. There are people around us who say one thing and we find ourselves maybe letting our mindset change to the mindset of the world. We find ourselves finding our mindset changing how everybody else around us thinks. And here is this one malefactor, as this one thief that was hanging beside of Jesus says, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. Knowing who Jesus is, knowing what others say about Jesus, knowing that he existed is not enough, but let's continue reading. In verse number 40, the Bible says, but the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, to thee today thou shalt be with me in paradise. You know, knowing who Jesus says that he was, knowing he existed, knowing what others say about Jesus is not enough. But I want you to notice what happened here in this man's life. As he is hanging there beside of Jesus and he has seen everything that has taken place, he has seen the people walk by and mock him. He's seen people spit on him. He's seen Jesus, even as they were doing all of this, that Jesus was hanging there and he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He could have fell into knowing that Jesus existed. He could have fell into knowing who Jesus said that he was. He could have fell into what everybody else is saying. But I want you to look as he is hanging there beside of Jesus, that he looks at Jesus and he compares himself to Jesus. And he says, "I want you to know something over here, brother, that may be hanging on the other side. I want you to know something. We have a man hanging here in the middle of us that's done nothing wrong. We deserve to die. We deserve the punishment that we are getting. But this man hanging in between us, he's done nothing wrong. Don't you fear God? How in the world could you say what you're saying?" I want you to know this morning that the only thing that's going to matter is whether in your life you have realized what Jesus Christ has done for you. As Jesus was hanging there on that cross and as he was pouring out his life's blood, this man, this thief that was guilty, that deserved to die hanging on a cross, that deserved the crucifixion and the punishment that he was getting, he realized when he looked at Jesus that he said, "I've done wrong, but this man has done nothing wrong, and yet he's hanging here and giving his life for me." And he looks at him and says, "Father," he says, "I pray when you come into your kingdom that you'll remember me." And he said, "Well, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Hanging right there beside of Jesus that day, his life, his eternity was changed hanging there on that cross. See, it's not about what we know that Jesus did here on this earth. It's not about who people say he is or who even Jesus says that he is. But we must look and we must recognize him for who he truly is. That he is the Son of God, that he is perfect in all of his ways, that he gave his life for you and I. He took the punishment that I deserve. He gave forgiveness when I was guilty. He cleaned me when I was sinful and dirty, that Jesus Christ gave his life for me. You know what? I'm just like that thief that was hanging there on the cross beside of him. I deserve that kind of punishment. I deserve an eternity in hell. I deserve for the crucifixion to happen to me because of my sin. And you say, "Well, preacher, we know that you were saved at the age of 7, and we know that you didn't get into some of the things this way." I want to tell you something. I'm so ashamed of the way that I have offended my Heavenly Father since the day that I have been saved. I may have got saved at 7, but there's been a lot of things that's come into my life since that day. There's been a lot of wrongdoings that's been done since that day. There's been a lot of sin that I have purposely done in my life since that day, and I so much deserve to be hung on a cross. I so much deserve crucifixion. I so much deserve to stand guilty of my sin, but I'm thankful that Jesus Christ was willing to take my punishment for me, that he was willing to come and hang on that cross there in the middle for somebody that didn't deserve it, for somebody that was so unworthy, for a Christ to come and love me even though I'm going to continue to sin until the day that I die, that he says, "You're my son and I love you. I don't want you in my family." Man, what a Savior we're serving this morning. When we look and see who Jesus is, we'll be like this man, and we'll not care about what everybody else is saying. We'll not care about what all these wonderful works. I'm not putting those down, but what I'm saying is the most wonderful work that Jesus Christ ever did is at the age of 7 when he knocked on my door and he invited me into his salvation. He invited me into mercy and grace and forgiveness. That's the best thing that's ever happened to me, and he deserves my glory and my praise this morning for it. Amen. "And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss." Don't see Jesus the same way the world sees Jesus. Don't see him as a little baby in a manger. It's wonderful. Christmas time is wonderful to come and celebrate the birth of our Savior. Easter is wonderful to come and celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But what's even more wonderful is because of those things, I have a personal relationship with him in my heart this morning. That I have a God that walks with me, that talks with me, that I can go to. Hey, when he was crucified here and the veil in the temple was rent and it was torn in two, I no longer have to go to anybody else. I have straight access to the Father this morning. Man, that's wonderful in our lives. And even though all of this other stuff is going on around us, and the world wants to view Jesus one way, and the others want to view him, and they don't mind talking about his existence, but they don't want to recognize him for who he really is, this thief hanging on the cross said, I know who this is. This man has taken the punishment that I deserve. Now listen, that thief was still crucified there on that cross. That thief was still killed. But I want to tell you something. That God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, kept his word when he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Church, I'm glad that God don't give me what I deserve, but he gave me Jesus Christ. I'm glad that I don't get the punishment that I should have, but instead I got grace, mercy, and forgiveness through Jesus Christ. I'm glad, sitting here this morning, I'm still guilty. Hey, if we all took a notebook out this morning, we ain't going to do this. But if we all took out a notebook this morning and we wrote down every thought we had this week, we wrote down every deed that we've done this week, we've wrote down everything that has went through our televisions this week and our radios and everything else, I'm afraid that y'all would vote me out for one thing, and y'all would all have to leave right behind me, and that's just all there is to it. Because we're all guilty. We all are sinners. But I'm thankful that you could write all of those deeds down. Now listen, I'm not saying this like it doesn't matter. But I'm saying this because of the way that Christ sees us, because of the way God sees us. You could write all of those things down, and you might as well write it with disappearing ink the way that Jesus sees you this morning. Because God, because of Christ's forgiveness of our sins and that sacrificial lamb there on the cross of Calvary, that our sins are washed white as snow. They're gone. Now you want to see sometimes why I get tore, and it's just me. It's me too. This is not me pointing a finger at y'all or nothing else. But here, when we come into the, all right, here comes some pastor talk right here. When we come into the house of God and we're just here for an hour, sing to me, preach to me, I'm going to nod my head a few times, and we leave and we don't use the opportunity to give God glory, we don't worship him. Hey, y'all know, I don't want us to put on shows. I don't want us, hey, unless God lays it on your heart, I don't want you to get up and run a circle around the church. If God does it to you, we'll all know God done it to you, and it won't be about you, it'll be about glorifying him. You don't have to walk across the top of the pews, and I'm going to encourage you not to talk in tongues. We might have to have a little talk about that. But what I want us to get to is where we realize what God has done for us through his son, Jesus Christ. And this is just not a time of meeting. I can have a meeting anywhere. I have meetings at work, and meetings ain't no fun. I got meetings to go to this week, and we're going to talk about all kinds, and it's going to be boring. Hey, worshiping our God should not be boring. It should not be a time where we just come in here and everybody be real. Hey, y'all know that I believe in respecting God's house, honoring God's house. I believe this is one of the holiest places that we go, and I believe in honoring this place. But you want to honor this place, you honor him. And I promise this place will be honored. Church, let's be careful that we don't get to where we're just so overexposed in knowing about Jesus and knowing his existence, knowing what he did, knowing what everybody else says about Jesus. Let's be sure that we don't get to the place that we fall into a rut and into a routine of coming into his house and not using this opportunity to give him glory. Well, preacher, if I raise my hand, somebody might look at me. Yeah, they might. Maybe it'll encourage them to raise theirs too. If I say amen, preacher, people might look at me funny. It'll be okay. I promise you. I'm not trying to pump you or prime you. I'm just saying you're in your Father's house, and it's okay for you to worship God. It's okay for me to worship God. And I'll just go ahead and tell you this. There has been Sundays that even I quenched the Holy Spirit in my life. You know, old Shane, he ain't even been here this morning for me to pick at. Every now and again, he'll get tore up and get the clapping and everything else, and I'll get tickled. Now, I'm just going to tell you, when the Holy Spirit gets on me, I usually laugh and cry at the same time. That's just what I do. People probably think I'm insane, and that's okay. But Shane will get tore up, and I sit there, and I get tickled, and I laugh and cry, and I'm not laughing at Shane. It's just the Holy Spirit jumping on me. But then there's been Sundays when I should have been the one getting tore up, and I stuck my hands in my pocket. What are these people going to think if I get tore up? it's all right to get tore up. Because I'm going to tell you, if we really got a picture of what Jesus Christ did for us right here on this cross of Calvary, of the forgiveness that he gave us, I believe we'd get a little more tore up about what God's done for us. Church, I love y'all so much. You do not understand how God has put a love for me, in me, for this place and for the people that's in this congregation. But my love for God extends that. I want us to know that if we want to go, listen, this is going to sound kind of crazy. I don't mean to be kind of crazy right here, but here we go. If we want to go to the next level for the glory of God, we're going to have to worship him in spirit and in truth. We're going to have to turn loose a little bit. We're going to have to realize that every now and again, it's okay to worship him. Because listen, if we don't, one day when we get the glory, we're going to feel real out of place. Because some of y'all might actually kick your shoes off and run a lap when you get up there. Somebody might shout a little bit when you get over there. Again, it's not about personal glorification. It's all about him and what he's done. Church, let's be sure that we realize when we look, that we realize he took everything that we should have had. Listen, verse number 40, but the others answered and rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing that we are in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly," in other words, Christ took what you deserved. "And we indeed justly, for we received a due reward for our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss." I'm thankful that he took the punishment that I deserve. Jennifer, can you come to the piano? I see you got your arms full. Can you pass off? Church, I'm going to be honest with you. I had no earthly idea that the message was going to take the turn that it took there toward the end and talking about us as a church body. That was not what I came with this morning. But while we're here, we might as well talk about it, hadn't we? You know, if I see my kids doing something, hey, and it's me too. It is absolutely me. A couple of Sundays ago, choir was singing good. There was something going on. I got tore up. And I stuck my hands in my pocket and just sat real still and closed my mouth and let it pass. Even though I took a whipping from God on it when I got home, because I should have gave him a little more honor, should have given him a little more glory than what I did. But I did because I said, you know, I don't want everybody thinking I just want to be seen. Look, it's not about being seen. It's about honoring God and worshiping God. If you do it to be seen, it won't take long to show up. I mean, it just like that. But trust me, we don't do it for God's glory, so I know you ain't going to do it to be seen. It'll be all right. But I had no idea that the message was going to take that turn. But I think as we was preaching the message this morning, just the thought kept crossing my mind. Do we really realize who Jesus is? Not his existence, not who others say that he is, not the man in the picture, but do we really understand what he went through for each and every one of us? If you will, stand to your feet this morning. Jennifer's going to play. This altar's open. Maybe you say, "Preacher, I don't know, it may take me a while to loosen up a little bit and worship him like you're talking about, but I can come worship him around the altar. I can come and pray and thank him for taking my place. I can come and thank him for the forgiveness." This altar's open. Come on right now. This altar's open. I can come and pray and ask him and tell him that to help me to give him honor and glory. I can come and worship him at the altar and thank him for forgiveness, for grace, for mercy, for taking my place. When he took what I deserve, I can come and give him honor and glory for that.